Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39 and 40. Again, our reading at the end of Genesis 39, verse 20. That ties us into the pericope of Scripture that we read last week, namely Joseph in Potiphar's house and the temptation that was laid before him. And now verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine there were three branches, and it was though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the other uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, and he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Now our text. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, the same words apply to Joseph as he is in prison as they apply to him in Potiphar's house, namely that the Lord was with him and the Lord prospered him. And in this chapter we look at Joseph in prison, unjustly. We notice two things about him: his godliness and his patience. He was faithful, and he waited confidently, as we sang in several of those songs, confidently upon his God. And now in this pericope in Joseph in prison, may we first of all see a type. A type of our Lord Jesus. For Joseph is that. Joseph is going to be the Savior of God's people. He's going to be the Savior, really, of Egypt also. They too will taste for a little while of the good things. For through the famine, they too will later on eat. But God has sent now Joseph down there to be a Savior of His people, to provide there a place for His people to be gathered, securely separated from all others, and to eat the good of God's hand. But the way to that exaltation of Joseph being a Savior is through the way of humiliation, is the way through suffering. And as true of the type which falls away, so of the antitype, the Lord Jesus. Yes, in God's good counsel, God chose Christ Jesus to be our Savior and our Redeemer, but He is going to be exalted to that position only through the way of suffering. And in that way of suffering, we see His godliness and His patient suffering. So we have before us a type. Type of our great Savior Christ Jesus. We need to see Christ in this. But we also need to see the people that we can be and ought to be are made through Christ Jesus. God's calling to us in our trials and in our disappointments and in our discouragements and our struggles. We will not receive the crown except by way of suffering. That is the calling of all those who follow Christ Jesus. Christ says, take up my cross and follow me. There's a cross. And now how do we take up that cross? Israel did not enter into the land of Canaan, but except by way of struggle. A long thing. They grumbled and they complained. How do we take up the cross? God forbid that it is through grumbling and complaining and murmuring at God's way in our lives. It is at times very severe. We don't understand His ways. Why? Why this constant pain? Why this rebellious child? Why isn't my marriage flowing, isn't what I expected it to be? And the answers, the questions might go pour out. We don't see, understand God's way. But we know the hand that is leading us. We know Him who is with us and will prosper our way. Rather than murmuring and complaining, God is not forgotten. We're not alone. May our life be one of optimism, godliness, and patience. So under the theme, Joseph in prison. Notice in the first place, dreams and promises. Notice in the second place, disappointment and hope. Notice in the third place, God is our refuge and strength. God gives dreams to His people. There Joseph is sitting in prison. He's in prison. This is God's reward for His faithfulness in the face of temptation. He said no to that Jezebel in Potiphar's house. And what does he get out of it? His feet, we read, are in fetters of iron. He's locked up there. He's in a place where he will not last very long, except the Lord is with him. How wonderfully the Lord was with him in the end of the chapter, chapter 39, where finally, because of his character, the one who is taking care of the prison sees in him his character and sets him free, really, in the prison. How is it that he is set free? Why are his feet taken out of those fetters of iron? God's word doesn't tell us. Was there a change in Potiphar's heart? Because this is not something that the captain of the guard in the prison can just do of his own. Is it Potiphar thinking about it, knowing his own wife, and knowing his righteous servant has a change of heart? Or is it that Potiphar has died or is removed from office, and therefore Potiphar really is not so important anymore? We're not told. All we are told that God prospered him. In other words, the hearts of men are in the hands of God. God did this so that in prison, his feet are taken out of the fetters of iron and he is able to go about freely ministering there. And as he's going around amongst the prisoners, he meets now two servants of the king. And two servants of the king, after being there for a while, have a dream. And Joseph, coming into their prison, into their room, notices that morning that their faces are sad. How come? And the answer, we've had a dream. How does Joseph respond? I had a dream. Does he say to them, go away, you dreamers? I too had dreams, and look what's happened to my dreams. I was supposed to be exalted over my brothers and over even my parents. I was to be a ruler. And look at me. I'm stuck in a prison. Dreams, may they go away. Dreams, why should I care? He doesn't do that. He recognizes the dreams that God gave to him, and he clings to those dreams. And he recognizes in these two men that it is God who gives dreams, and it is God who interprets those dreams. But we ask a moment. While there are two dreams, there are three different sets of dreams, aren't there? Three different sets of dreams. Two dreams given to Joseph when he is a young lad. Two dreams given to these two heathen servants of King Pharaoh. And later on, two dreams given to Pharaoh himself. The butler, the baker, and the king. We might pause a minute. Perhaps Joseph would have asked, why? Why these dreams to these heathens? The Lord speaks to his people. He speaks comfort to his people. He lifts up his people. He gives them visions and dreams, and he speaks in their ear. But why? Why is the Lord now speaking and giving dreams to these heathen men? First of all, to these servants, and later on, to the king of the land. Is it that the Lord loves these men? That the Lord is going to prosper these men also? The answer is no. No, the Lord does not give these dreams to these men for themselves, but the Lord does all things in the service of his church. These dreams are given for the purpose of Joseph and for the purpose of God's people. These dreams are given to these two wicked servants so that Joseph can be the one who will minister to them. And ministering to them brings him into contact with King Pharaoh himself. It's all for Joseph, and it is all for the church, for Jacob and his household, that God speaks, that God gives these dreams. These men are sad. Two reasons. First of all, they had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Here again, they're looking around for the help of some man. If only there were some of the Pharaoh's magicians or wise men here. But there's no interpreters here in prison. They're looking for the help of man. And Joseph says, no. Look at his faith here. He says to them, don't you know that it is God who interprets dreams? He doesn't say dreams who needs them. He doesn't say, here I am, I can interpret it. No, he acknowledges humbly his faith in God. God interprets dreams. And he offers himself. He offers himself to be that instrument of God, to speak the word of God to these heathen men. He will make known from the Lord what will happen. So he interprets the dreams. Three branches, wonderful grapes. Pressed in his hand, the butler serves it to Pharaoh. 3 days, and you will be restored again into office. Baker, three baskets, wonderful cakes, baked goodies, and the birds are plucking them. 3 days. His head will be lifted too, but not lifted in exaltation, but be lifted off his body. He'll be strung up for the birds to eat. We're not going to stay with those two men, nor even their dreams. For they're not really the important thing in this passage, are they? God's word doesn't say whether they are guilty or they are innocent. Why are they there? Are they there just at the whims of a wicked king? The king had some indigestion, and so obviously it's got to be his butler or his baker. Or are they indeed guilty? It almost would appear that the baker is somewhat guilty because he holds back with his dream until he hears the interpretation of the butler goes well, and then he's too willing to give his dream to Joseph. But that's not important. What is important as these men with their dreams and what will take place are used by God to bring Joseph into contact with the king. What a genuine young man he is here. He's not some kind of a stoic. He doesn't act like, well, God will take care of me, so I don't care what takes place here in this prison. No, he says, make mention of me to Pharaoh, to the butler, for the butler will be again in the face of Pharaoh next to him, serving him day after day. Remember me. Speak a good word for me. I am all alone here in prison. I am ripped away from my family. I was sold into slavery. And I didn't do anything wrong that should force me to be in this prison. Yes, Joseph is waiting on the Lord, but that doesn't mean he's passive. Just as you and I wait on the Lord, that doesn't mean we're passive. But we do whatever we can for good. We visit the doctors. We don't wait on the Lord and say, well, doctors are wrong because the Lord will heal if he wants to heal. We pray for missions and then we say, well, it doesn't really matter whether we witness to our neighbors or we send out missionaries because the Lord's going to save whoever he will. We wait on the Lord, but we use means that God gives us, and Joseph is taking hold of these means. He says to his butler, here is the interpretation. You're going to be restored to the king. Remember me. Speak a word for me that I may be released. Perhaps this is the means that God is going to use to vindicate me. He requests. He demands from this butler a promise. You can almost hear that butler. He hears the good news. That sure, 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 yes. Yes, of course. Thank you. Thank you for the good news. Of course, Joseph. I will remember you before the king. And our text says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He willfully forget him. Willfully he did evil to Joseph who had done good to him. Willfully. It didn't just escape his mind. But when he comes back before Pharaoh, he doesn't want to mention any indiscretions that put him into prison. He didn't want to talk about those bad days. Let them be forgotten and let's just move on from here. No, he doesn't want to bring up those prison days before Pharaoh and the interpreter that brought good news. But he pushes it back in his conscience. Promises, 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 but he was not a man of his word. He's a heathen. As we heard this morning, we are to be people of our word. Promises that we make, we keep by God's grace. There was a willful forgetting of his promise, but this too was of the Lord. Oh, it doesn't excuse that butler. He's a heathen. He broke his promise. He did not remember Pharaoh, but forgot him. But this too is of the Lord, for the Lord said, not yet, Joseph, not yet. This is of the Lord. You almost have to read the first verse of chapter 41 with our text. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. But Joseph doesn't despair. In spite of his afflictions, these years that he has spent in prison already, and now 2 more years, and don't say, well, it's only 2 years. You don't know what the prisons were like in those days. None of us would want to be in a present prison in which they have color TVs and good food to eat. 2 more years in the king's dungeon. In spite of his afflictions, Joseph doesn't lose his pious optimism. What about you? What about me? Perhaps you have prayed about a chronic pain or a rebellious child or sore spots in your marriage or some family issue that doesn't seem to want to get resolved. You've prayed, but there continues to be pain or trouble or suffering. Are you a pessimist or are you an optimist? Is your life filled with gloom or with zeal? Is your life all about yourself or is it about others? What is your outlook in life? We all have troubles, trials, they vary. They vary. None of us are alike. But the Lord has crosses for us. What do we do with those crosses? Do we despair? Do we act in anger? Do we despise God? Do we act like Job's wife? Curse God and die? Or are we godly and are we patient and are we confident? Are we optimistic? Do we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I can walk through this valley, His grace supporting me, strengthening me, at times carrying me. Dreams given, promises given, and delayed. The Lord was with Joseph in prison. That brings me to my second point, disappointments and hopes. Disappointments. Joseph surely was disappointed. He was a victim. He says to the butler, I was sold into slavery. I was sold away from my homeland. He was a victim of vicious brothers who should have embraced him and loved their younger brother but hated him. He was a victim in Potiphar's household. He did good. He stood up for Potiphar. He says, I will not do this great wickedness against my master and against my God. And what does he get? the Lord rewards him with prison life. And now he does this great kindness. He interprets the dream for this butler. And again, he's a victim. In our text, the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. A victim. How many times don't we see ourselves, find ourselves as victims? Victims of circumstances. Victims of someone else's vindictiveness. Some of you boys or girls know what it's like to stand on a playground and have bullies continually pound on you, recess after recess, and you hardly dare to go out in the playground. Some of you know what it's like to go into work and have the boss again unfairly load more on you or find criticisms again and again of your labors. Some of you know what it's like to have friends, good friends, suddenly turn against you and whisper against you or slander you. And the list goes on. We have various different disappointments in our life. Perhaps there's those who are single here this evening that would love to have a marriage partner, but the Lord has not seen fit to give that marriage partner. Perhaps some of you would love to have a child or have more children, but the Lord doesn't see fit to give you more children. Perhaps some of you have health or you have children who are not healthy. You didn't wish for a child with special needs. No one wishes for it, but God gives it. Some of you maybe lost a job in the last years. You did your best, and yet because of the economy or because of favoritism, someone else got the job that you had. Victims. Joseph was a victim. We are at times victims. How do we react? I'll get back. How could this happen? Why did God cause this to happen? God is sovereignly in control. We have that theology. He does all things. What patience. What submission is necessary as we wait for God's will in our lives? A song that we sang at the convalescent home or the Byron Manor this afternoon, an old hymn. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithfully will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. I quote that hymn a moment for those words. Joseph, a victim of many different things. Christ, a victim. Yes, God had his life planned for Christ, but a victim. Those nasty Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, plotting always against him, twisting his words. And yet when he's in trial, he held his peace. When they reviled him, he reviled them not again. What types? What an antitype. What a thing for us to follow. Be still, my soul. May we put our hands to our lips, lest we, in bitterness and anger, curse God or curse God's way. Oh, Joseph feels the pain. As I said earlier, he's not some kind of a stoic. He comes to this butler and he says, I was sold, I was stolen from my home ground, and I'm in prison through no fault of my own. He feels that pain and that suffering, but he's not complaining about it. Bitterness doesn't overtake him. He's not stewing about his injustices. He doesn't return hatred for hatred. He's not wallowing in a poor me complex. You'll find those people at times. I can think of one of my churches where there was a member, and I would have to try to remember to myself, do not ask this question. Do not ask this question when you see him. Because quite often when I see someone, you say, hi, how are you? And just as soon as I would say that statement, how are you, all of a sudden, oh no, here's another 15, 20, 30 minutes of all his health issues over and over and over again. Now, hopefully we ask that question in love for one another. I tell the story in that we have to be careful that we don't become that person that is only thinking about themselves and pouring out their griefs and their sorrows. That is not Joseph. When the butler and the baker lay out before him, were thrown here into prison, he doesn't say, well, let me tell you my story, how I got here. No, we find him in this chapter living before the face of God and prospering. Not filled with bitterness and complaints and saying, why should I do anything? But he is ministering there in the prison. Getting his freedom from his cell and from his fetters, he is going about and he is ministering to the other prisoners there. He is faithful in the task that God is giving to him. Oh, may we be found faithful. He is found faithful in his suffering, and he is found later on faithful in his exaltation and serving the king of Pharaoh. And there is a threat, isn't there? There is a threat, whether in suffering or when we are exalted, there is the threat. And that's why we find Augur praying in Proverbs, give me neither poverty nor riches. When we're suffering, there is the threat that we might curse God and get angry. When we're doing well in life and we're prospering, there's the danger that we forget about God and we think that this hand did everything. By grace, we find Joseph here in his troubles, in his afflictions, in prison. He is faithful to his God, not embittered. But he is waiting upon his God to vindicate him. What a type. What a type he is of our Lord Jesus. God's word comes and he says, love those that persecute you. Do good to those that use you. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. In Ephesians chapter 4, let all wrath and malice and bitterness and clamor be put away from you. Be tender-hearted and forgiving and gentle and merciful to others. Joseph in prison, not complaining, but ministering to those around him. What a type of our Lord Jesus. Do you see him? He comes down from heaven. He comes amongst his brethren and they do not receive him. He is despised and rejected of men, and yet he is ministering. He doesn't complain about his way from God, but he suffers silently, willingly going to the cross and dying for his people. May Joseph, and may the one who Joseph is a type of, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, be set before us with our calling. By the grace of God, by the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, in our troubles, in our suffering, in our struggles, do not become embittered. Don't get caught up in the poor me. Poor me. But instead, looking away from ourselves, wait patiently on the Lord. Godliness, confidence, patience. Pray for that grace. For troubles, there will be. Trials, there will be. For each one of us. Different, but they'll be there. A cross. How do we carry that cross? Gloom and doom. Woe is me. What an awful life I have. I'd rather be dead. God forbid. Looking. Waiting, hoping in our God. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, full of expectation. Joseph, rather than filled with bitterness and the poor me complex, is a comforter. Instead of turning inward, he reaches out in compassion to others. Look at him as he goes about ministering in that prison. Look at him with a compassion as he speaks to this butler and this baker that one morning. Why is your face so sad? He reaches out in sympathy and offers help. He comes not with a theology, I can do it, I can help you, but he comes, don't look at me, but look to God. Do you see that testimony in his lips? Beautiful testimony. These two men were sad because there were no interpreters. They were looking for the help of men. And Joseph says, no. God is the interpreter. Look to him. He expresses a faith in God. That is comfort. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 about real comfort. And that's the only way that you and I can be comforters, isn't it? Paul writes, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's think about that passage a moment. The Apostle Paul recognizes that he was very many times in trouble. Whether thrown into prison, whether whipped and beaten and left for dead, many different times he was in trouble, in sorrow and difficulty. The Lord comforted him in those tribulations. Why? In order that we may comfort, he says, those that are in any trouble. And how is the Apostle Paul and the other missionaries, how were they able to comfort those others who are in trouble? He says, with the exact same comfort whereby we were comforted by God. Namely, He is our God. He is for us. He will help us. He will deliver us. And now the lesson. As Joseph, instead of turning inward with a poor me complex, is outward comforting others in the prison. As he is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ who came and suffered in this world in order that he could minister to us. God places you and me in various different troubles and trials in our lives so that we not are filled with bitterness and complaining, but rather having tasted of God's hand with us and for us, we may minister to one another. What a wonderful comfort when someone is going through troubles in their marriage, when an older member in the church is honest enough and say, yes, we went through troubles like that, and this is how the Lord helped us in our marriage. And that's why Titus talks about the older women teaching the younger women, the older men being examples to the younger men. O Church of Jesus Christ, our lives are not promised to be easy, but the Lord is with us. The Lord will help us, and that right early, take the comfort that God has given to you at times in your troubles or trials and speak that comfort to others around you who are hurting, who are going through hard times, that we may be that compassionate people of God who care and reach out for one another as members of the body. Comfort. Comfort with God's Word. The comfort that He has given to us. How beautifully Joseph is able to speak of his faith. He speaks to this butler and he says, you're looking for interpreters. There's only one interpreter. Look to the Lord. He speaks his faith. And that's the way we comfort one another. We take our faith in the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we hold that faith out to one another. What an opportunity Joseph was given to witness. We don't read of the fate of these men, but Joseph, who demonstrates his faith in this statement, there's one interpreter, namely God. We can be sure that he spoke then to these two men in the next 3 days as he made the one man ready to meet his Maker. The response we don't know. But opportunities given to us to witness to others around us our faith in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength. Patience is needed. That's what we see here. 2 more years are given to Joseph because the butler forgot his promise, did not remember Joseph. God has Joseph 2 more years in that prison. And we need to be able to say then when the Lord continues us in troubles, be still, my soul. We need to recognize something about our God in our prayers. What do we need to recognize? God is not some genie in a bottle. That if we rub the bottle the right way, we go through our prayers, God is our servant to do whatever we want. God is not our servant, we are His servant. And our crosses, and our pains, and our troubles, our disappointments, are all about God's plan for us and for others, His plan which is wise and good. Joseph couldn't understand the way of God. Job couldn't understand the way of God. We don't have to understand God's way. We need to know this, though. God is good. God is wise. God is in control. Humbly submit. Patiently wait. We, who are later in history, now can read this history, and we're able to see how God was shaping and how God was preparing Joseph. Joseph is praying to be set free. Joseph wants to see his parents and his brothers again. He says, I was stolen from my homeland. This is my hope that once again I'll be reunited with them. He prays. God answers his prayer, but notice God answers his prayer not necessarily in the way that Joseph is expecting and not in Joseph's time, but in God's own time. 2 more years, Joseph. And God will remember it not because the butler remembers him, but because the king has a dream and the king needs an interpreter. The Lord was with Joseph in his troubles. The Lord prospered him. The Lord strengthened him. The Lord prepared him for his labors later on in the kingdom. In God's sovereign purpose. Yes, that's what we need to see in this history of Joseph. His story, God's work, God's care, God's sovereign providence. Whether in joys in our life or in sorrows in our life, God leading, working all things for good. The Lord was with Joseph. Sometimes the way of our trials or our different disappointments, they are long. It is arduous. And we become anxious. We become depressed. Yes, we start saying with the psalmist, has God forgotten to be kind to me? We ought not to. That's our sinful nature. We become less confident. As God's children, take His story, take the history, take His revelation of Himself. Our God is a faithful God. His mercies are new every morning. His love never fails for us. His purposes, though hidden from us, are good. There will be a day of deliverance. And so as the songwriter says, hope ye in God, ye waiting saints, and He will well provide, for mercy and redemption full and free with Him abide. Trials, difficulties, they vary. Sometimes our way is deeper and more difficult than at others. We're all on different places on that journey as pilgrims through this world. But there's a destination. There's an end. And the Lord is with us in the middle of our valleys. May the Lord give us this spirit that doesn't become bitter then in our troubles, but rather that we reach out. We reach out to others and minister to one another. We comfort one another with the comfort that God has given to us. Amen. Father in heaven, open our eyes. In the midst of pain or trouble or disappointments, open our eyes to see Thy hand. Thy hand upholding us. Thy hand leading us. Thy hand training us. The Lord will not leave us. So in our trials, Father, use us as a godly example of godliness and patient hoping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalter to number 365. Not the hopes, not the promises of men, but the Lord's promise. We sing in stanza 3, Lord, my hope is in Thy promise, and I wait for Thee more than they that watch for the morning light to see. All four stanzas of 365. God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.